Last week, children, we saw how Jesus was deeply shamed. We considered together that he despised the suffering and the shame. But not only did Jesus get shamed, he did get a lot of it, but he also received love. He received honor. Not from many, but at least he did have a few that showed him honor. Let's in our minds go for a moment into the house of Simon the leper. If that's a normal house, like all of it, it would have a big lounge or an inner square. He was a richer man, but he used to be a leper, healed. And he's really, really committed to Jesus. So he organizes a meal. And so you see them in that room, in your mind, all sitting in this square or U-shaped table. Martha's there, and Mary, and Lazarus, and Simon, and the disciples, and maybe a few more. Jesus is surrounded there. Just for a few moments, with nearly all friends, not all. There's one more in that room that ought not to be there. But also the disciples weren't really in the best of a spirit, were they? And this morning, Jesus is commanding us to think back of Mary. If you have your Bibles over to Mark 14, verse 9, it's not too often that Jesus uses the word verily. Verily. Remember, he says this quite often when he has something really important to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you ought to be born again. So here he uses the word verily. Not twice, at least once. Verily, I say unto you. That's important. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. What's a memorial, children? You go to the square in Carden, there is a memorial of Mr. Carter. A statue. That's a memorial. It's a little plaque, I think, underneath it. Tells us that he is the founder of our town. That's a memorial. So this morning we are to think of Mary. She's a memorial. And everywhere where the gospel is preached, this story has to be preached. She has to stand as a memorial in our church this morning. Not to honor Mary. Of course not. But maybe God is trying to tell us something to Mary. That's why I prayed this morning. Search us through Mary's action. Searches through the disciples' reaction. Searches through Jesus' reaction. As he answers their reaction. And you notice a memorial is not here set up only for people. This is a memorial that Jesus remembered in the days that come right after here. I want you to think how. I will maybe say it in the end of the service. But Jesus had what Mary did here as a memorial with him. And don't think that only people saw this. The Father saw it too. God the Father is looking down on Simon the leper's house. And he's seeing Jesus, his dear son. And he knows what goes on in the heart of his dear son. And he knows where soon he will be crying and laying on the ground. When he cannot answer anymore. Except an angel for a moment. And then he knows a moment is coming that his son is going to hang on the cross. Father sees him. And you notice when you read in Acts chapter 10 verse 4, you read that word memorial again. I'll read it to you. It's talking about Cornelius in Caesarea, a man who feared God with all his house, which gave alms. He gave lots of things, money, houses, whatever, to the people. And he prayed to God all the way. And then Peter comes, and then he says to them this. When he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, "What is it, Lord?" And Jesus answered him. And Jesus said to Peter, to Cornelius, I'm mixed up here. So Jesus is speaking to, by an angel, to Cornelius. And when the angel looked on him, he was afraid. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And then he said, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." Hey, God takes notice of the things that Mary did. And that's why we are preaching on it today. God notices. God remembers. God recalls. Tonight, I think we are reading Matthew 25 in our sermon. And then you will read it. Even the littlest things you do, children. Even a cup of water you bring to one of your classmates. If they're thirsty. Out of the love of your heart. It's a memorial. Before God. Let's look at this history this morning. About Mary's loving gift to Jesus. She touched Jesus with her loving honor. Because she did something very unusual. I will see that in a moment. And secondly, we'll look at the second thought about Jesus' words, kind of gives that suggestion. Through Mary, the Father anointed Jesus with his honorable, loving token as well. So if we read together in this whole history, and let me just jump for a moment to the Gospel of John, and if you want to also go there, John has just a slightly different addition to the story of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So if you go to John 12, please. And I just want to ask you to actually jump back to chapter 11, the last two verses. Jewish Passover, verse 55, is nigh at hand. Jerusalem is streaming full with people. And then it says, verse 56, then sought they for Jesus, and they spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye? Hey, what do you think? That he will not come to the feast? They're all talking about him. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees are given commandment. That if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that I might take him. So you know, the place is full of spies everywhere. There are spies everywhere in Jerusalem, trying to report where Jesus is. And then Jesus is taken to the house of Bethany, and then we read there, verse 2, they made him a supper and Martha served. Verse 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and she anointed the feet of Jesus. I want to read that for a moment. Because Mark says the head. John says the feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And the rest will leave because that's about the same as what Mark tells us. So what do we know? Around Jesus' life, children, there is a dark, dark cloud rising. Disciples, they feel it, but they got no clue what's going on. But Jesus knows what is going on. There's a few more days and he will be arrested. He was sentenced. He'll be tortured. He will be mocked. And he'll be killed in the most shameful, horrible way. And around him, Jesus will no doubt know all these spying eyes. The moment he walks into Jerusalem, he knows he's being reported on. There's everywhere these glares, these unspoken glares that are cast at him. He feels that, undoubtedly. Maybe kept him awake at night. What do you think? Filled him with pain. Maybe some of them he helped. Maybe their family members he healed. He loved them. He pastored them. And he feels the hurt, no doubt. Done only good in the whole Jerusalem. He's done good anywhere he went. He's never done anything that people can throw him a stone for. And he feels pain. Our Savior is suffering. Feels lonely. Yeah. Even his disciples don't understand what's going on. In that, he feels really lonely. Undoubtedly. During the night hours or the quiet moments, he's praying to his Father. And laying his needs and his burdens in his Father's hands. And his Father answered him. So sweet. His Father put it in Simon's heart. How about you organize a feast for Jesus? Invite Mary and Martha and Lazarus and some other friends. That's the Father, okay? These things don't happen by chance in Jesus' life. This is the Father guiding Simon the leper and bringing the faithful worshippers in this house. You see, any time you find somebody that comes and comforts you, drops you a line in a text, sends you a little poem, drops a card in the mail, may encourage you. Don't forget that when that happens, that's not just that person, you know. That's not just that person. Listen to Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 7:6. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us. How? By the coming of Titus. He sent Titus to Paul. Paul recognized it. It's not Titus who was a nice man. It's my God who is a nice God. Sends me Titus. Encourage me. Eh? That happens here too. Father is comforting Jesus. And why did Jesus not want us to forget Mary's action? Why does Jesus not want us to omit this portion of Scripture as we read it and today preach on it? Because nothing is more important to Jesus than that you love Him. Religion is not important to Jesus. Judas was religious. Very religious. Even talked like them. He said, "I, Lord." He's a religious man. Denied himself. Preached. Did miracles. Studied theology with Jesus for 3 years. He's a religious man. Doesn't matter if you're religious. You know what matters, children? If you love Jesus. And of course, if you love Jesus, you'll do the things that please Him. I realize that. But that first, if you don't love Jesus, you're in big trouble. And friends, that's not only true for children. That's true for all of us, isn't it? There's a text in the Scriptures that somehow is really kind of forgotten by most of us. This is the one, last verse of 1 Corinthians 16, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema. That's let him be a curse. Kids, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, and adults, if you cannot say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou know, despite all thy failing, I love thee. That's important. That's why Jesus wants this story in the Bible. Mary loved Jesus. And love is not just feelings. Love is not just singing. Love is not just coming to church once or twice. Love is not that. Only love is devotion. Love is sacrifice. Love is self-denial. You know, how did Mary begin to love Jesus? We don't read it in this part of the Bible, of course, right? We just know that she loves Jesus. But how does she get to know, how does she love Jesus? It's because Jesus touched her heart first. Let's keep that in mind. Any one of you love him? Paul or John tells us it's because he loved you first. Love doesn't start with us. Love starts with God, who comes into our lives. And he makes us love him. Makes us love him. Mary's heart was open to Jesus. His saving touch of grace turned this woman, saved this woman, changed this woman. And what happens when God touches your heart with his love? Well, it starts with hurt and it goes to healing. When God shows his love to you, he's like a real doctor. He doesn't put a band-aid on you. He cuts you open first. He doesn't just stitch up the wound. He opens it up and he wants to clean it out. That hurts. No painkiller. When God, Jesus, touches you, he's going to get inside of you. And when he gets inside of you, it's going to hurt. What is that hurt? Conviction of sin. When you get touched by Jesus, you begin to realize what an awful thing it is to sin. That's first. At least that's part of it. If it's first, maybe not always. Could be the love of God draws you and overwhelms you, but it's always going to be the sense of hurt. Pain, I have sinned. And add the word shame to that. Once you see yourself, you can pretend so nice, right? We can pretend to be such nice people. But when our hearts get open, we feel shame. We feel filthy. We feel exposed. We want to run. We want to hide. We want to seek cover. Because I feel so ashamed about myself. And you know how we do that? We try to become better. I'm going to be really kind now, Lord. I'm going to really read your Bible now. I'm really going to pray to thee. I'm really going to pay attention. I'm going to go on to cover my shame. Doesn't work. God comes closer and closer. You know that doesn't work. After that, guilt makes you tremble before God because you know you deserve the punishment. Now, and though this pain and this shame and this guilt is not nice, it's helpful. Why is it helpful? Because that is going to make you realize you need Jesus Christ. Children, I'm sure you know a lot of stories about Jesus. But even if you know all the stories about Jesus, that doesn't mean you love him. Neither does it mean that you know why you need him. And that's one reason why God makes us feel sin. It helps us to realize the message of his grace and of his forgiveness and of his healing and of his work on the cross and in his suffering, why that was all necessary. Yeah, slowly, maybe our mind begins to open up to the heart of the gospel, which is Jesus suffering on the cross. And maybe Mary also felt that. As she felt her wrongness and her sinfulness, she is drawn like a magnet to Jesus. How's that? That's the Spirit, huh? You cannot explain that. On the outside, Jesus didn't look any different than any other man. But there was something in Jesus that Mary felt, that Mary understood, that drew her closer and closer. She had sat at his feet. She had listened to him. Now, if that happens to you, you'll be like Mary. You don't only want to know more of him and more of him and more of him. If your heart is drawn to Christ, you pray when you come in here. As I said on the men's members meeting this week, your prayer will be, Lord, one thing have I desired. One thing. I come to church for one thing, Lord, to behold the glory of God, to see the glory of Jesus. More of him, more of him. That's what I want. Yeah. That's Mary. True love draws you to a person, and true love stirs your sense of admiration, your devotion, your commitment, and one more thing. You want to do something for that person. Huh? That's our Mary. That's the story we're at now. Mary wants to do something for Jesus. And how do I know that my love is real? Here's the test. What I do for Jesus. That's the test. It's easy for us to sing about this, oh, great love of Jesus. Beautiful hymn. But that doesn't tell me anything. It is great love to Jesus. That will tell me. And that doesn't mean that that great love to Jesus is always like Mary on this spot. No. That great love of Jesus is also Peter a couple hours later. Lord, even if all these people here are going to be offended, not me. No. Peter misspoke. But let's analyze why he said that. Why did Peter say that? Because he loved Jesus. That's important. Let's sing together. 3:11. We'll just do verse 1, no? Let's stand together and sing verse 3:11, verse 1. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Mary is thinking. She must have felt also the tension rising in the surroundings of Jesus, and she just has in her heart this growing desire to do something special for Jesus to do something to let him know how much she loves him. That's all she wants. She's not here brownie points. She's not trying to make an impression on other people. This woman is seeking genuinely to do something special. Children, you feel that sometimes you want to do something special for your mom and dad. So how can I show them my love? You make a special picture. Or you do some baking. Prepare breakfast in bed. Whatever it is. Why do you do that? Because you want to show them how much you love them. Now that's Mary. She's thinking about, what can I do? And undoubtedly she thought about it. And something flashes into her head. Where'd that come from? Well, I know that came from the Father. We'll see that in a moment. But Mary didn't realize that. Mary thought it was her idea. But you see, if you pray about things, as Mary undoubtedly did, and it is God who answers sometimes in a thought that comes into your heart. So here, she hurries home, or she goes to the market, I do not know. But she is going to spend a lot of money. She bought an alabaster box of ointment. Alabaster is like a white, light marble. It's a little flax. It's not just a box, if you think about a box, but think of a little vase. Little flask is the Greek word. A flask is like a tiny little vase with a little narrow head and then a little opening on top. Alabaster, it's white marble. It's light. It's kind of like glass in our days. It's a ton of money. In our day, it would probably cost $50,000. Wow, $50,000. Yeah. You buy this bottle for a whole lifetime. Sometimes this bottle was passed on because it wasn't empty in a lifetime. It was passed on from mother to daughter to next daughter. Maybe by then it would be empty. It's an heirloom. Now, possibly that this is an heirloom. Something that Mary received from her own mother. It was really special to her. Now, we don't know for sure. But we know it's very precious. We heard how expensive it was. I see her standing by the door, waiting for the right moment. Maybe after the meal is served or not, we do not know. But all of a sudden, she walks in, and she beelines to Jesus. She breaks the bottle's flax. She's not going to just put a drop. She breaks the whole thing, and she pours it on his head. You picture that. A rich perfume on his head. And you know what she did then? That's what all people would do in Jewish days. She would gently rub it in Jesus' hair. Now, I love getting a head rub, especially when I'm tired. My wife does that sometimes. Jesus had no wife, but he gets a head rub. So special. The Father doing that, by the way. She's using Mary. But it is for Jesus that he gets this token of this love from his Father. And so she rubs it in his hair. But then John tells us he's not stopping there. As she's finished anointing his head with this beautiful perfume, she does something else. She goes to his feet and she empties the bottle on his feet. Yeah, and she's not done. Because then Mary does something that no woman ever does. She takes off her veil. Every woman was veiled in the Bible. Married women. She uncovers her hair. And she does something really strange. Nobody ever does that. She wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. I think everyone would have frowned at her. You just don't do that. Certainly not to someone who's not your husband, but not even any wife would do that to her husband. Mary, that is so wrong what you're doing there.
Mary doesn't care what people say. She wants Jesus to know, I love you. That's all.
It's loud and clear, isn't it? She's saying, Lord, thou art worth everything to me. I don't worry what other people say or think or how they judge me or how they talk about me and gossip about me and comment about me. I don't really care at all. I only care about one thing, Lord Jesus. I care that thou knows I love thee. Now let's think about that for a moment, congregation. Mary's memorial means a lot more than don't forget what Mary did. Mary's memorial is God's challenge to you and me, children. What's Jesus worth to you, to me? Now let's ask that question for a moment this week. What is Jesus worth to me? $50,000? If you have that much extra. You need to, and I need to think about this. If I love Jesus, how will I show that love to him this week? Am I ready to pour my year's wage? Is he worth giving up my job? Is he worth giving whatever you fill in, the lowest place? Is it worth me to ruin my reputation? Like Mary kind of did that, didn't she? But it doesn't matter what people thought. She only wanted to let him feel what matters to her. And it's like I said, it's easy for us to sing the great, deep love of Jesus, and it is a beautiful hymn. But am I living my great, deep love to Jesus? So Mary prayed about that, and she got an answer in her head from God. So you pray about it. I pray about it. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do to show to thee that thou art to me so valuable as Mary was to thee? Now you notice Jesus is really touched by Mary's action, because we notice that in the reaction, because look, they're all murmuring. There were some that had indignation. They were angry inside themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Poor Mary. She must have felt that. She must have heard the murmuring. She must have sensed it. But Jesus immediately stands up. Let her alone. I just can't imagine. He had a little bit of a force in his voice there. Let her alone, you men. Don't you touch her. What she has done, why trouble ye her? She did a good work on me. Now Mary heard it. What the disciples said about Mary, but hold on. They didn't only say something about Mary. They said something about Jesus. Why waste? Hear that? Why waste this on Jesus? Ouch. The Lord has heard you. This is the love that she showed to him. This honorable love. And he felt it when they criticized her. They criticized him. They felt the anger, Mary and Jesus, like a cold shower. Do we need that rebuke? Let's think back for a moment. Who have you judged? for doing things like Mary, giving up whatever they gave up for the cause of the kingdom.
Who have you judged?
Careful. You not only judge them. If those people do that like Mary out of the love of heart, you touched Jesus' heart. Be careful. He feels that. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's what they did here. They are grieving Jesus by their rebuke. So be careful when you judge those who say, ah, that goes too far. That's too much. That's over the top. You know why that is. I know why that is. I know of my own heart. It's because their actions touch my conscience. They touch my conscience. Yeah, that's what happened here. That's why they're angry. That's why they're murmuring. That's why they call the wastes. Well, let's sing our first 4 and 5 and then we'll close with the last thoughts of 3:11. With thankful heart I offer now my gift. Now that's like Mary, isn't it? And I call upon God's name before his saints. I pay my vows and hear my gratitude to God. So let's do 4 and 5 again. Let's stand one more time. 3:11. Now real brief on the second thought. Mary, through Mary, the Father is showing his honorable love to Jesus as he pours this perfume on Jesus. Now Jesus saw another hand, right? He says, she's done what she could. She is come beforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Now I'm sure there's not a single thought in Mary's mind about that. But Jesus sees in Mary the Father's hand anointing his body for the burial. Mary could not have known what would have happened the next few days. As Jesus died on the cross, it was hardly enough time to bury him properly before 6 o'clock when the Sabbath started. So everything is hurry, 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 hurry. Well, she didn't know that Nicodemus was already preparing. None of those things they know. But Mary only is acting here on the impulse of his love. But Jesus recognized
It's the Father moving her to do this. Thinking as I've meditated on that, for God so loved the world that he gave his all. His all. And here you could write a text. For God so loved his Son that he gave the whole bottle of perfume to be poured on him. Now mind you, it says in our text, she poured it on his head. Oh, it was probably in John's gospel. And the whole room was filled with the smell. Guess what, kids? The next day or 2 days later, when Jesus goes and he's arrested and he is alone and he is hanging on the cross, I wouldn't be surprised. He still smells it. On his head, on his body. Because that would have lingered for a while, don't you think? Maybe throughout all those horrible days, he's reminded, not about Mary only, about his Father, who anointed him ahead of time for the burial. And so Jesus then, as he is finishing this, he drops a suggestion, doesn't he? He says, you have the poor always with you, and whatsoever you may will, you may do them good. You know what Jesus is saying here, children? There are other feet. There are other heads. There are other people that need your perfume of love. I don't need it anymore. He's in heaven now. He's beyond all the suffering and the pain. But there's something on earth of Jesus. What is on earth of Jesus? His body. His body. His people. He said, you have those always with you. Many of them are suffering. Hunger. Many of them are in prison. Many of them feel cold or lonely. They feel rejected or betrayed. They're denied and harmed. And they need our perfume of love. You'll have those always with you, he says. They'll always will be there until the end of time. And whensoever you will, notice this word will, not wheresoever you can, we can do it all day. Will you do it? Will we this week ask like Mary, Lord, I want to show my love to thee. Show me where I can do it. I want to show thee how much thou means to me, Lord Jesus. Show me to whom I can show it. And when we touch a neighbor, we may touch Jesus. So let's take that along this morning as a personal question. What is the Lord Jesus worth to you? And do I show my loving honor to the Lord Jesus? And you say, well, how can I do that? Do I have to be like Mary and give a bottle of perfume worth that much? Or do I have to be like Nicodemus and buying 100 pounds of spices? Or do I have to be like Joseph of Arimathea, who already ahead of time, mind you for a moment about that, builds a burial plot next to the worst place you could ever find in Jerusalem? The man is from Arimathea. He would want to be buried in his own burial plot, friends. Why in the world is he having a graveyard next to Golgotha? Well, he read Isaiah 53, and the Holy Spirit, no doubt, directed him. They need to have a graveyard. Who knows what went on in his mind? But I'm sure it wasn't his graveyard.
You will not be buried there.
But I don't have that kind of money, Lord. And I don't have the kind of money that Nicodemus have to buy a huge amount of myrrh and aloes to prepare Jesus for the burial. Do I have to? No, you don't have to. We can do that, of course, if we have the means to do that. But the rule in God's kingdom is this. Everything you give with love in your heart counts to Jesus as love. That's what's important to him. And so we read tonight, I think, from Matthew 25, and you'll read that parable that Jesus gives, and then the judgment, I think, about the judgment day, about a cold cup of water and coat. And so, children, and all of us here, whatever God gives to us, let that become a channel to give to others. Once you have taken care of your own need, we'll look at that tonight again as we look at Christian charity. So children, to make this now practical, Jesus says, I saw you gave a cup of cold water to someone that's thirsty. Tomorrow at school, you see someone who is thirsty for a little kindness. Will you go to that person? Now, not because of that person. But will you think, Lord Jesus, how can I show this week my love to thee? Well, maybe he will set before you somebody that's kind of lonely. He needs a cup of cold water. He needs a loving touch. He needs a word. Maybe someone, he says, you gave a coat to those that were naked and shivering. Maybe there are people in your classroom that feel ashamed because they're not so good, they're not quite so cool, they're not so smart. And they feel a little bit ashamed. They try to hide it maybe, but it's there. See? Those are the moments you could show your love to Jesus by showing them your love. Jesus says, I was a stranger and you took me in. Maybe there's someone that's kind of walking around lonely. Hey, yo, come join our group. Not just because you want to make yourself look good. That's not need to be the motive. But I'm just to give you some examples. Ask the Lord tomorrow morning, before you go to school, children. He says, Lord, how can I, how about when you come home after church? How can I show my love to thee here at home today? Or at school tomorrow. But how do I know that those children or those adults are the Lord's people? Doesn't matter. You don't need to know. They're your neighbor. And we are to love our neighbor as Jesus did. And as you do, you'll find out eventually that when you did it to someone that you had no idea who he was, that Jesus later on will tell you, when you did that, you did it to me. I didn't know that. Doesn't matter. What matters is the love that I saw. That's what matters. That's all that matters to me. Does it matter to you? Let's pray. Amen. Lord, thank thee for searching us, stirring us, encouraging us also. And I wanted us to ponder this morning about this incredible instance of the love of Mary. Lord, use thou us as thou used Mary. Make us totally ignorant of what she was ignorant of. Let us do it, Lord, just because of love, not of being noticed. Let that flow through us and out of us. This is truly what godliness is, isn't it, Lord? And Lord, thou knows that we clothe ourselves in religious garbs and customs and habits. And some of those are really good, Lord, and keep us from discarding those. But please help us to see this morning that that is not what thou art looking at in us. We pray that thou pour upon us the Spirit of Jesus and in us, that we may be like Mary in our loving ministry wherever. So hear our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.